We are the church. We bring God's overwhelming love to the lost. We bring hope of salvation to the broken. We are called to make a difference. Jesus led the outreach, so we follow. Jesus spoke on the mount, so we listen. Jesus loved, so we love. God calls us to outreach, to build the community, to be the community, so we answer.
Good morning, and happy 4th of July weekend, right? I love it when it falls in the week like that. We can celebrate for days and days. And welcome to those of you guys watching online. We're glad that you decided to join us today. Now, we are kicking off a new series for the month of July, right? And you saw the promo there for it. We are talking about how to build up the body, right? How to build up our community. As you can see here, there are five parts to it. And so we have a lot of fun things kind of scheduled for you. But let me tell you, when we start talking about the principles of community, right, it's going to go counterculture. It's going to really cause you to have to rethink, because it's really nothing like what we were taught growing up, right? What God has to say about community is unique. And actually, if we take hold of those principles and we walk them out, it can almost start a cultural revolution, if you would, right? By taking them and using them. And God says to us, he promises us that if we do it his way, then he'll empower us, right? You see, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, here on earth, right? Because he was supposed to and has established us as children of the God Most High. That was our original state in the garden, right? When God created us. And so we've lost that because of sin and our choices. And yet Jesus Christ came to recall us, to claim us back as his own, right? And to cause us to have sight on him and the community that he has for us. And his vehicle for being able to convey that community is the local church also, okay? And so he's going to empower us when we grab hold of this concept called community, and that he's going to actually speak to us in the midst of our frustrations, our significance, when we're looking for significance, our frustrations, our fears. He's going to actually come as we start to step into the truth and be transformed, okay? Now, I'm talking a lot about what he can do, because it is all about him, after all, isn't it? It is. And so I'm going to continue in talking about our message, but one of the things I like to do is always like to start with prayer and invite the Holy Spirit's presence even more, because I can talk and talk, but you see, you need the Father to touch your heart, and that is something I cannot do, only he can. And so would you bow your heads with me, and I'm going to ask him just to come even more on you. Father God, I thank you for each person you brought in here today. I believe you uniquely called them to be a part of what you're doing. And Holy Spirit, would you come and speak? Father, I see that. I am unable, Father, to do what you can do. And you, Father God, one touch from you makes all the difference in the world. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and that you would touch each person here today, that you would open up their eyes to the possibilities that you have for their life, that there is great significance. Father says your life has great significance. And so, Holy Spirit, fill every nook and cranny, every heart, Father. Open up the ears and wake us up. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, we are going to be talking a lot about community today, but I was thinking about this whole concept because we're right in the middle of independence, right? And independence, as most of you know, it's something to be celebrated. We gave you flags, right? Everybody got one? I hope you can wave them. Yay! Okay, there you go. It's just our way, our little way of honoring. I love the flags. Honoring the holiday time. Take it, put it in a planter or something. Just have fun with it. But, you know, as we know, independence was all about the forefathers finding you know, where they didn't want anybody to tell them what to do, right? They wanted to plot their own course and of course, be strong and independent from England and the other European places and stuff. So anyway, we embrace that. We see that. We celebrate it all these years later, right? But, you know, independence, that great concept, when it's misused or idealized, it becomes a problem. And so if we use independence to declare to God that we want to call our own shots and we push away from Him, right, and wanting to be independent, it really causes difficulties. It causes difficulties, you know. The culture, our culture we live in, tells us if we can be independent financially or relationally, you know, or however, you know, be self-sufficient, that that's where we find our happiness. Yet God in His Word says, no, that's not true. That's not true. That's a myth. That's a lie that we buy into in our culture. Actually, God has to say that in interdependence is where we find our freedom. Our happiness is found there, right? And so this is part of the awakening within ourselves, you know, to understand and embrace community and what God has. It's to understand that you and I were designed for interdependency, right? I mean, if you look at the great commandment that God gives us, we are to love Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. And so it's all about interdependence upon Him and other people, right, other believers. And so we need to get that concept in our mind that we need each other. And I know this is counterculture. I know I'm going into 5 weeks, and you guys are going like, yeah, right. You know, so I want to take today and I want to talk to you about why we need community, why it's important for us. And we're going to start out by looking at this scripture here in Romans 12:5. It says there, just as there were many parts to our bodies, right, hands, eyes, feet, so it is so with Christ's body. So there's an analogy here that God says, pay attention to this analogy. It takes every one of us people to make it complete, God's body, for each have different work, so we're not all supposed to be the same to do, so we belong to each other, so I belong to you and you belong to me is what it says, and each needs all the others. And so this is an analogy, or this is a way that the Holy Spirit talks to us and says, hey, everybody is needed in the body of Christ. When we're forming community, every part is vital and important, right? Just like it is in a human body. And so we need to know that we're important in the community of faith that we belong to, right? And so when we look at the community of faith, we're really talking about the church, aren't we? We're talking about the church. And the church is made up of not just bricks and mortar, right? But hearts and souls of people that are following Jesus Christ. And so we need to know that we're part of that, and it's part of what we need to belong to. So in describing today why it's important and spending time there is because I know the general lean is to lean away from that and not leaning into it, right? And so I want to hit you with a couple of ideas here we're going to look at. I need others to walk with me. So that's the first thought, and you can write that in your outline. You need people to walk you. What do I mean by that? Well, you need people to help you grow spiritually, right, to grow your faith. You know, the Bible says and talks about our walk, right? The walk of Christ, the Christian walk. And the Bible uses the word walk a lot, right? And here, if you've ever thought about, well, why? It's because in a walk, you're not quite where you want to be, but you're going somewhere, right? You're in motion. And so God wants us to walk. He wants us to walk the faith, right? And He doesn't want us to walk alone. He wants us to walk with people. This is very clear in His scripture. All right? Now, I know just as I say that, and we're talking about community, there's some of you going, yeah, I got community, Sharon. I got it. I mean, have you ever seen my podcast? I have a lot of followers, right? Or hey, I get a lot of likes at Facebook, and people join me in the morning, and I read my scripture, right? Now, I'm playing with you, but I'm serious. Or your phone blows up with TikTok. Hey, these are great, social media is great tools, but that's not community. It's not community, because the truth is, you only get to know people from a distance. Let me say it again. You only need to know that this gives you a distance from people. You know, you can look at them from a distance. And community requires you to be up close and personal. And I know I'm stepping on toes here, okay? I know it. You need to be face to face with people, right? Not at a distance where you're showing all your good attributes. Or if you disagree with something, you shoot it up online and you don't even give anything about the person's feelings or other people. You're going to get your point of view across. Social media is a strong, powerful tool, but used incorrectly can cause a lot of pain, okay? And so we need to know that being online is grand, but it is not community. That does not achieve the community. Community is this. You're up close and personal. You're up close and personal with each other and with me, and you can see all the faults, you know, all the difficulties, and you just come along and help anyway, right? That you have compassion, and that's really what we need. And then I know some of you are like, well, this community thing, really? I don't like it. I mean, I like walking by myself. I'm a pretty independent girl, right? I want to do this thing. And then when I walk by myself, I can keep my own pace. I don't have to wait for anybody. I don't have to get frustrated. And I hear you. I hear you. Well, community is God's idea. It's not Sharon Mead's idea. It's God's idea. And he wants you to walk in community, right? To be with one another. And even if you're an introvert and you prefer to be by yourself, there's a part that God says, no, come be part of the community. Let's walk together. You see, he doesn't want us to walk alone. He never intended us to be solo, you know, all by ourselves, right? He even did that at the beginning of creation. He says in Genesis 2, it is not good for man to be alone. I mean, he made a perfect human being and put him in the Garden of Eden, right? And then after a little while, he looked and said, hey, this is, you know, he said everything's good, but this is not good that he's alone, right? And so with that, he declares, I don't like loneliness. So God hates loneliness, right? And so he's so emphatic about it, he lets us feel it, but he says, hey, you weren't intended to be like that. I didn't design you for that. And so he's going to give us a different thing here, right? He's going to create for us these two entities that help to combat that loneliness feeling, right, of being isolated. And they were the family, right? They're your family, and they're also the spiritual family. They're your physical family, the ones you grew up with, right, the ones that you've been a part of for most of your life. But you know, with that physical family, people grow old. They get married, they move away, they die. But you see, in the spiritual family, it's not just here to enjoy on earth, but it goes on into eternity. It goes on and on and on. And God calls his church his family. So there's an important element of connection that he wants us to have here. And actually, he gives us a principle here. He says that community is God's answer to loneliness. He says, if you're feeling lonely, then you need to be in community, right? I talk to a lot of people and they'll share with me different stages of their life where they feel, you know, that loneliness feels overwhelming. Do you know what that says to me when they say that? It just says that really they've got their perspective of what community is from the world. You see, they think community has to do with having their spouse and then be complete within each other and needing nobody else. Or their kids. It's all about their children, right? Or their work, or their hobbies, whatever. And so they think that's where community is found. And those things are great things I'm talking about. However, what God is saying to you and I is that we were designed for community in heaven and here on earth with one another, the spiritual family. And so we need to run after that. We need to understand that that's what we need to be doing. Now, here you go. The truth of the matter is the world pulls on us so much that church is like, yeah, I don't need to be in a small group. I don't need to be doing that, right? I've got all these other great things. I got a great program I belong to. I'm going to go do this thing, you know, hike a mountain and sit in a meadow or whatever. Whatever, right? We get pulled, but here you go. Here's the word of God, not Sharon's, because I know some of you are going, oh, that's Sharon. Here you go. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect. Why would he say that? Because we tend to do this. Neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage. I'm encouraging you today. Encourage one another. We are to encourage each other, to lift each other up, and to talk to each other, to have fellowship, have community, to commune with one another, right? You know, this verse that we're talking about is just, it rocks you if you let it, right? Because it's saying that church isn't an afterthought. Community here isn't an afterthought. It is a forethought. It's to be put in front of stuff, right? And so I want to encourage you that, especially if you're feeling lonely or displaced, right, that you rethink what community is and you come and you be a part of it. You see, God wants us to learn the two greatest lessons in life, which is to love Him and love other people. And so God is more interested in community than He is in your achievements that you have here on earth. And so you must be in community. You take that with you when you leave this earth. So we want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about being able to have people walk with you and encourage you to walk with them, to set time aside. And here you go. This auditorium is way too big to really have a good community feel, right? I can talk to you, but it's a one-way conversation. I want to encourage you to get into small groups or like this men's retreat that they're getting ready to do. I know most of you just shot Josh and said, that's not for me. Me with men? No, thank you, right? I've got things I got to do. But here's the reality. You need them. You need to be in community. They need to walk with you, and you need to walk with them, and you guys are one, right? And so you can come up with 1,001 reasons why you can't go, but the reality is you need that. You need each other. You need to walk together, okay? I'm going to zip that one up. Walk with each other. Very important, very important. So what else? Why else do we need others, Sharon? Why else do we need to be in community? So that we can watch out for each other. We can watch out for me. That's why I need that community, right? I am talking about getting with a group of people who are like-minded, who can protect me and who can, you know, keep track of me, help me to see things that I can't see. You know, I always say to watch my backside, right? We need people like that that can help us to see the blind spots because we all got them, right? And so you have a good group of small, you know, a small group of 12 people. They can really get to know you and they understand you and they can see your blind spots and they're going to love you even though you're not perfect, right? They're going to love you, but they're going to help you to see that. And we want that. We want that for you, right? In Philippians, it says this. In Philippians 2, it says, not looking to your own interests, right? Watch this, but each of you should be look to the other's interests. And so what you see here is that the scripture is saying, hey, let's push away from our ideals that we have as Americans, right? That said, it's all about me, myself, and I, right? It's all about what I'm going to do and where I'm going to grow and my goals and what's good for me. And so the me then rises. And yet the Holy Spirit is saying today, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You see, Jesus Christ gave his life away for you, for me. And so he says, we are children of the God Most High. That's what we need to be doing also. And so here you go. We're to look out for each other's interests here, right? We're to look out to help each other. So you're to be in a group with people that can be dream makers and not dream busters, right? Who can help you, who can help you. You know, in my neighborhood, they have something called the Neighborhood Watch, right? And if you're older, you know what that is. That means my community works together to watch after each other's properties, right? And if you're going away for the summer, which many of us are, right, we will go to a neighbor and say, hey, I'm going to be gone for a week or two. Can you watch my stuff, right? And so my question to you today isn't about watching your stuff, if you have somebody to do that, but it's more about, do you have somebody watching your soul, which is far more important than your stuff, right? Do you have people in your life? Have you expanded your ability to have people in your life that will watch after your soul, that care about your spiritual well-being, that will talk to you? You see, what I know is that Satan has this big target on the back of every person that believes in Jesus Christ. He wants to take you down, right? And so he's got you in his crosshairs. And here's the reality. He doesn't show up in a little red outfit with a pitchfork. No, he's slyer than that. Instead, he shows up in places where we find ourselves doing things that we do not want to do, right? Or habits that we cannot break. we find ourselves caught in this place of just being beat to a pulp, don't we? Well, what I want you to hear is that Satan, even though he's coming after you, God has given you a safety net, because we can get lost in despair when things don't go right, right? Or when we lose somebody we love. You know, it can crush us and we can be defeated. And so here's the safety net that God gives us, right? Well, wait, not there yet. Okay, Ephesians 4:10. If one person falls, another can reach out and help him. So someone who falls alone is in real trouble. So again, causing this understanding of we're here to help each other. Here you go. There's my principle there. That community is God's answer to defeat and to despair. And so we need to know that God is here for us. God is wanting to help you, and he wants to use the hands and feet of people in this community to do that, right? Now, the Apostle Peter, he reminds us of the function of a family, because that's how we're supposed to operate, right? We're supposed to operate as a family. It said you should be like one big family full of sympathy towards each other. In other words, that I give you my heart, you give me your heart. I empathize with you, and you empathize with me. I'll call it out in you what I see, and vice versa. But we're to function as a family. We're to watch out after each other. I can't underscore that enough, okay? That is what we're supposed to do. So let me look at this last one with you. I need others to witness with me. To witness with me. What? Yeah, to witness with you, right? That means to help you to be able to get the message of Christ out to people around you. So how does that look? Well, here you go. I believe that each and every one of you has been given a purpose in life. You're not here just to take up space and breathe, right? But God has actually put a purpose in your life, and it's unique to you. Nobody else has it. It's again like the body of Christ, right? That there's a unique thing that you're supposed to do, but you're part of a whole. So this unique thing that you're supposed to do, right? I often refer to it as your shape, right? Your spiritual gifts, your passions that you have inside, your abilities that God has equipped you with, your personality. It should go along with your calling, right? The thing that God has for your purpose. And then those experiences, because in the word shape, everything stands for something. Well, in this ability, thank you so much, my love. In this ability with the word shape, what we see is that you yourself have been called to do something unique, right? And you need to figure that out. That's why we have Growth Track. That's why we do that for you, right? And Growth Track 3 actually takes you through a series of things so that you can figure that out. Now, here's important. It's not just your shape that matters. It's the global one that happens. And so you and I are called to have certain things in our lives. And one of them is this recognition that you and I are to be the holders of the information that God has deposited in us. What did he deposit? Jesus Christ. Right? And so you and I are the holder of that, and we need to show other people, right, the difference, the night and day difference that God has made in our lives, right? And that's what we're called to do, that we need to be able to stand up and find ways of delivering that message to a whole world that's lost. You see, God asks us to come and play with him, right, to come be a partner with him, to come and let people know that how much he loves them. And so that's our job. That's what you and I are to do. And so God wants us to be able to know that part of our call is to be the witness, right? To help other people know who he is. Now, when we start to function that way, look what the scripture tells us what happens. In John 13, it says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." I love that. So it's the way we interact. It actually proves to people that Jesus is real. Isn't that mind-blowing, right? The way I talk to you or the way we interact, right? It proves to people that Christ is real and he's operating in our lives. And so we need to understand that's what he wants. Only here's the truth of the matter. People are afraid of people. Have you ever saw that, right? People are afraid of people. They're afraid of well, if I love them, they'll get disappointed. It's better just to stand back here, not to get too involved. But yet God is calling us to become involved with one another, right? He's saying be involved with one another. And so we need to know that God has equipped us to do that because he's given us the Holy Spirit, which is God's gift, right? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the moment we do that, he sends the Holy Spirit to reside inside of us. Now we have great power in us because we are connected to the God of the universe, right? And so the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be what? Afraid of the people. He doesn't want you to fear if somebody's going to reject you or they might not like you. He says, I don't want you to be afraid because this is one of the big things that keeps us from community. Okay, we get afraid. He says, don't be afraid, but be wise and strong and love. Where do we get that? That's the Holy Spirit, right? To be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. So that's our perspective of people. He says, love them with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And the Holy Spirit will help you to do that. And we need to get that in our mind. Oh, that's what you want. And so you need to become acquainted with the Holy Spirit, who he is, and what he's doing, right? And so when you go into a community and you're kind of nervous about going to a small group or just, you know, and having a conversation or that men's ministry, invoke and say, Holy Spirit, come. It's that easy. Holy Spirit, come help me. Give me strength. Give me power. Give me the want to. I don't want to listen to a whole bunch of men snoring, right? And women do the same thing. But I don't want to hear that. You know, and so we have all our reasons, and yet the Holy Spirit is moving. He's saying, no. If you call upon me, I'm going to empower you to be able to do that. You see, I want you to overcome the fear, and that's actually the principle that he gives us here. He says, God's answer to fear is community. It's community. So he doesn't want you to be the tail. He wants you to be the head. He wants you to follow his lead to actually to impact your communities. The ones outside of these four walls and the ones inside, right? He's calling upon you today to be able to do this. Now, here's an extra scripture that I found that kind of shows how we are supposed to work together. And I like this one. In Philippians 1, it says, you are working together and struggling side by side, because it is, we're all learning to grow, to learn how to do this, right? You're struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. And so you see, you and I are supposed to be the dispensers of the good news. We're not responsible for somebody choosing it, but we are responsible for delivering it. And so the question then becomes, is there going to be anybody in heaven because of you? Do you see that? You have a part to play. Now, here you go. This is one of the reasons we also do Serve Day. We only do it once a year, where we get the whole entire church and we get you all to go out with us into the communities that are around us so that we can share the kindness, right, of Jesus Christ to our community. Now, here you go. I have outreach small groups, ones that go every month, right, to different entities around our cities. So why do this one? Because this one here causes everybody to become aware of it. Everybody. And so we show you through just general acts of kindness the impact you can make in people's lives, right? And you heard Bernicia talk about it just a few moments ago. You can get on the app that we have and you can look at all the different projects, right? And if you're like me and you're app challenged, right? I will get you to a young person who can help you. How's that, right? Okay. And if you can't do that, that's okay. We have sign-up tables. Okay. So this date that I want you to remember, we're going to talk about it more and more in depth next week also. This is the date. Serve Day projects are on Saturday, July 15th. Okay? And what we do is we start here in the morning, and we come and we have a time of praise and worship. Okay? And then we get into our groups, and then we hit the whole cities with our different projects. Now, guys, what I'm talking about is getting in a community of believers, of people that are like-minded, that they have the same heart and passion. And then I'm talking about taking the very hope, the message of hope that you have, and delivering it to the people that are outside these four walls. This is such an important impact, right? Because remember, our God said that we are to learn to love him with all that we are, with all the way you think, all the way you feel, right? With every day of your life, with every motivation you have inside, we're to learn to follow him and to love him, to be passionate about him. But then you take that same passion and pour it into other people, the neighbors, the people we don't even really know. He says, I want you to do that. And here you go. I'm going to give you the vehicle of community within the body of Christ, the family of God, which is the church, to help you to rise up to accomplish this. For you see, those of you who have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying today, that he loves the people and he has equipped you with everything that you need to go out and to make a difference in this life. You don't have to be extra special and smart and all these things. He says, just go and ask the Holy Spirit to come with you and watch what we can do together. This is the message that God had put on my heart for today. You see, we need community to fulfill what God has for our lives. Bow your heads with me. Father God, I thank you for your love and your mercy today, Lord. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just continue to come and move upon your people, Lord. And Father, I'm always mindful, Father, that you are always searching for those that are far from you. Those that perhaps know your name, but they're far from you. So, Father God, as we round this corner to wrap up, I am so mindful that nobody is to be left behind. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would continue to move upon those that feel far from you. And here you go. I will offer to lead you in a prayer if you feel distant from the Lord, because he wants you to come close. He brought you here today because he wants to show you how to be interdependent upon him. And so if you feel far from the Lord today and you want to come close to him, you want to have a relationship, you want to walk in strength and in power, you want to understand your purpose. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you to do something courageous, right? And that goes for you guys online also. Right where you're at, I'm going to invite you to say a prayer with me. But here, I'm not going to ask you to do, especially people in the auditorium, come forward. No, this is between you and the Lord. But I want to know who's wanting to pray with me. So what I'm going to do is those in the auditorium, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And those that are online, I want you to raise your hand because it's a symbol. Yeah, I see those. Okay. All right, now put your hands back down. Now here you go. All this congregation, all these people in here, you're praying because somebody's stepping over the line today. This is important. And so those of you that raised your hand and you want this relationship with God, you want this power that I'm talking about, this community, then right where you're at, you just say, Father God. It's this simple. Just say, Father God, I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. And I ask you to be the leader of my life. Forgive me for my sins. And bring me in relationship with you. I give you my all. And I accept the Holy Spirit right now. Now, Lord, those that were praying that prayer, your word tells me that you wrote their name in the book of life and that you seal it in their heart. I thank you, Father, that when we make one little tiny step towards you, you blow me out of the water with what you do, Lord. And so I thank you for that, Father. And Lord, for this message, I so know that I have put my boxing gloves on, like that opening statement. I am boxing and I am warring with Satan himself, who would like to isolate your people. And so, Father God, I contend for this church. I contend for the believers that are here, Father, that you would help them, Lord, to begin to understand the vision that you have, that they would not be weak, Father. They would not be what's that word, Father? But they would not be able to walk in the fullness of what you have. I see that, Father. Would you strengthen their feeble legs? Would you strengthen their arm? Would you allow their punch, Father, to go even further than they think they can? Father God, empower them to make the difference by which you gave them life to do this. Father, I lift them up to you. Only through you can this happen. Only through you, Father, can this happen. So Holy Spirit, just come now. Come and embrace your people. Come and call to your people. Come, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, and do what only you can do. Empower us and equip us to be the difference makers that you have designed us to be. And we will love you, Father, with all that we are. And we will love others because that's what you said to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, as we're getting to do the transition now, I want to just encourage those of you that prayed with me, whether you're online or you're in the auditorium and gave your life to Christ, you need to tell somebody about it. At the end of our service, we'll have prayer people up here. You can come up here for that. Or if you just need prayer, you can come and they'll pray over you. All right? But you need to tell somebody. You can fill out the little Connect card we gave you, or you can go on the QR code and fill it out and let us know, and then we'll help you with that next step. Now, people are moving around because I'm also dismissing all our dream teamers that help us to carry, to carry the second service. They're going to their huddles right now, all right? And as Bernicia reminded you, it's Growth Track 1 today, and I hope to see you there. If you've never been to our Growth Track, you'll want to do that. And then you do not want to miss our first Wednesdays, right? And Pastor Parker, he's got a word. He's been praying, and God has revealed to him. And I am super excited on Wednesday to be there and to hear what he has to share with us, okay? All right. Now, for those of you that call this your church home, you can tithe, right? The QR code, you can click into that. It'll tell you how. Or you can text to 45777, and you can give that way, right? If this is not your home, do not feel compelled that you have to give, okay? That's just, if you want to support, you're more than welcome, though, okay? Now, I'm going to ask everybody to stand up. And one of the things we like to do the first Wednesday is we like to pray over you guys, especially for your giving. So I'm going to do that, and then we'll close and go back into one more song of worship. Okay, I hear that. So, Father God, I thank you for your love and your mercies, for they were new this morning, Lord. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, right now, that those that are practicing, Father, tithing and learning to put you first, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would cause them to be successful in the things that we're doing. You say that when we go and follow your principles, that you pour out your blessings upon us, Father, more than we can even contain, Lord. And so, Father God, I ask that you would do that. And I ask, Father, with all my heart, Father, that you would cause these folks to rise up, to take all the cities for Virginia Beach, to all the way to Suffolk, to Hampton Roads, everywhere, Father, that they would move. In Jesus' name, amen.